Hello and welcome to the Disney Magic Hour, episode number 30. We're going to have our preview of the Disney films for 2016 tonight. To my left is Melissa. Say hello, Melissa.
Hello, Melissa.
Next to her is Scott. Say hello, Scott.
Hello, Scott.
Across from me is Brian. Say hello, Brian.
Hello, Brian.
And from Florida is Lou. Say hello, Lou.
Hello, Lou.
Hello, Pete. And say hello, Pogo. All right, so that was Boo Bass by Pogo. You can find that video and more over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix. And his website is pogomix.net. We are lastgenpodcast.com. Find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. And on Facebook, if you search for Disney Magic Hour, you will find our little group. Add yourself and we'll approve you as long as you're not trying to sell sunglasses. And then head on over to iTunes. A 5-star review is the best way to help us promo this show. 5-star review and then share that on your pages. But let me go first to our special guest tonight, all the way from the frigid air of Florida, as he keeps continually trying to convince everyone of, Lou Mangiello of WDW Radio. How you doing, man?
Listen, thank you very much for having me. And it's 40-something degrees, so if I don't survive, tell my story.
I don't know how you can manage. I mean, you know, the 36 inches of snow up here is, you know.
I had to put on long pants, so.
Oh, no.
Have you been there long enough now that actually feels cold?
It does. And it's funny to watch because when it hits like 55, people just lose their marbles. And it's like the Northeast, like they're hoarding milk and bread as if they're never going to come out of their houses again.
That's so weird to me. Milk goes bad. If you're going to get locked in your house, just, God. Anyways, people are nuts. They're absolutely nuts. So tonight, you are so cool. I know you have a crazy busy schedule, especially with your big cruise coming up next week, which we're going to talk about at the end of the show. So I really, really thank you for taking the time out of your schedule. You've been, in all the times that like me and you have been talking and communicating, I feel like the last couple of weeks has been the craziest that your schedule has been.
Yeah, I'm busy and I love it. Like the pressure is sort of the fuels the fire, but I have been insanely busy the last couple of weeks. So, well, but it's all good, man. It's all good stuff.
All right, I appreciate it so much. So let's get into it. We're going to talk about the major releases that Disney is putting out this year, including, you know, a couple of animated, a Pixar film, some live action stuff, some superheroes, some sci-fi. They really have quite a busy year, to the point that there's been a lot of shuffling going on, and even for next year's schedule of films, so they don't basically collide with each other. So let's start with, admittedly for me, not the most exciting one on this list, but let's go with the release for January 29th. We're getting The Finest Hours. This is directed by Craig Gillespie, who actually I really loved his earlier film, Lars and the Real Girl. Million Dollar Arm was, I think it was pretty well received, but kind of basic, I think is one way of putting it. This has got Chris Pine, Casey Affleck, Ben Foster, and Eric Bana, Graham McTavish. This is basically the story of the Coast Guard who has to go out and almost a suicide mission-esque. You've probably seen the trailers on TV a fair amount because they're building up to their release. Lou, you are the guest, so let's start first with you. Does this film resonate with you? Is this something that you are going to go to the theater and put down your $15 or whatever they're charging now? Is this something that's on your radar?
You know, it's one of those things that obviously doesn't scream Disney when you see it. I could imagine how cool it is probably going to look on the big screen. And as much as I'd like to go see it, I know it'll probably be a rental for me.
That's same for me. I mean, Scott, this is coming out really soon. This really kind of kicks off, but it is January, quote unquote. This is when they release the dead films a lot of times.
Yeah.
Is The Finest Hours something? Does Chris Pine get you to go to a theater at all?
No, it would probably be a rental for me too. But, you know, for the most part, the Disney, you know, true events type movies that they've made, they haven't been terrible.
No, they're always good. They're not low quality. Right. They're quality. They just don't do anything exciting.
Yeah, they seem to be kind of, I don't want to say like generalized to a certain, you know what I mean? Like a ship movie doesn't really interest me too much.
Yeah, it's like Perfect Storm and stuff like that. Just kind of walking in those footsteps. Brian, do you have a different opinion on this?
No, I'm really, I'll be surprised if I watch it on a rental.
All right.
Even when it comes out, it doesn't really, nothing really interests me. I like some of the actors in it.
Yeah, it's got a great, you know, I mean, I love
Casey Affleck. I really love Eric Bana. Chris Pine, I want to like him more, but a lot of his stuff I don't know. I don't like him in.
I feel like he's a prototype of Tom Cruise, but without Tom Cruise's magnetism.
Yeah,
because he runs a lot in movies. I see him running a lot.
Yeah, he does.
He really runs. If him and Cruise do a film, I'm just going to assume it's about marathons.
Yeah,
and then
I look at him and say he's like a poor man's Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah. Okay. Which is kind of ironic because in the Star Trek lore, Chris Hemsworth plays Kirk's father in that first movie. So actually, yes, he is exactly that. Melissa, I mean, I hate to say, are you jumping off the boat that is Finest Hours as well?
When I first saw the trailer for this, I forgot what movie we saw it in front of, but it looked really interesting. And then, I don't know, the more they told about the story, I was like, okay, this is pretty cookie cutter. It's probably going to go exactly the way that you're thinking it's going to go. And
Cthulhu.
Yep. Totally out of the ocean. That's where he lives. For.
That would be good.
Yeah.
If Cthulhu shows up at the end, they're like, true story.
I'll rent it then.
Yes. It's really good, directed by Guillermo del Toro. Yeah. None of us know yet, though.
No.
All right. Really, let's start the show off with a bang on that one. Okay. Let's go towards something a little more Disney flavored. Zootopia is opening March 4th. This is brought to you by the co-director of Bolt and Tangled. It is also co-directed by part-time hero Pen Zero, and also the director of Wreck-It Ralph, who's Rich Moore. This has got a really big cast. Jennifer Goodwin, who you may know as Snow White, who I still think will be revealed as Dumbo. Jason Bateman, Shakira, Idris Elba, J.K. Simmons, Alan Tudyk, who is, in my recent memory, King Candy, and he was phenomenal. John DiMaggio, who is the man of a thousand voices. You might know him best as Bender. Bonnie Hunt, who also did work on Cars. And Tommy Chong, because, you know, he was around, I guess. I don't know. He's always around.
I did like when they revealed that Alan Tudyk's character is the Duke of Weaselton.
No, Weaselton is, that's his character name.
No.
Oh,
this is a
I gotcha.
On his one from Frozen. It's actually pronounced Weaselton.
Hmm.
In this one.
Well played.
Yeah.
I wonder if there'll be any Arrested Development nods the way that they did in Frozen, actually.
That'd be
Firefly. Get a little Firefly.
Oh, yeah. I'm a Leaf on the Wind. there was a Leaf on the Wind shirt that I want to get, but I'm still worried that like people don't know that show and I would just be upsetting them. Of course, this is music by Michael Giacchino. So this is another one we've seen a fair amount of trailers for, not that much. The Sloth trailer was, I think, the most extended look that I looked at. It was a DMV look inside, and you got a sloth being slothily. Mm-hmm. So once again, Lou, I'm going to jump to you first. This is kind of a big release, especially coming off of the heels of Tangled. Wreck-It Ralph was very successful, and now you're taking the talents from that, and they're bringing you Zootopia, which on the surface seems kind of straightforward. What's your reactions to this?
So on paper, right, and I remember when they announced it back at D23, on paper it sounds awesome, right? Anything with Jason Bateman and J.K. Simmons and the talents of it. And then I started to see some artwork, and I started to see the teaser, and then I saw the trailer, and the Sloth trailer obviously was meant to be slow, but I'm like, okay, I'm waiting for a big payoff, and I didn't get that trailer that hooked me that said, I need to go see this. And that's odd for me when it comes to Disney films, especially animated, and still it's been out, you know, it's coming out soon. There's still nothing yet that is making me feel like I'm going to need to rush to go and see this. And that concerns me a little bit, but maybe I'm hoping that something's going to happen between now and early March.
Yeah, that or just it would have to work through word of mouth, because this is really the same reaction I had when Frozen was coming up, because the Frozen trailers, if I remember correctly, it was a lot of focus on the snowman that I didn't know anything about yet and a reindeer. And I was like, well, this looks like Ice Age. Yeah. You know, this just looks like a short that they took out of Ice Age. I don't know why I want to see this. But then the film itself obviously was vastly different than that. It wasn't going for that in the least. But I don't think I'm getting tricked with Zootopia. Like kind of like Lou was saying, there's nothing in these trailers that's making me think, I want to go see this. And yeah, to echo what you were saying, this cast is really right up my alley.
Yeah, I mean, the cast is amazing.
Yeah, the cast is phenomenal. And the thing is, with the that worries me, though, is with that sloth trailer, all the jokes were it carried out the joke for too long.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that that is going to be the movie. It's just going to be jokes that they just drag on too long.
Yeah, maybe it's just like a one-trick pony and it doesn't really go past beyond that.
Yeah.
And now Jennifer Goodwin, she's voicing the little rabbit?
Yeah, she's the bunny.
Like her character seemed fun.
Yeah.
In the trailer, like she seemed very fun, but everyone else did seem kind of basic.
Does it almost seem like this movie, and look, I know, you know, they're animated films, but I almost got the sense that this is almost meant to be geared a lot more towards kids than a lot of us who are kids at heart that are still like adults.
Yeah.
So maybe my kids would like it more or be more attracted to it than we are.
Yeah, no, you know what? I'll 100% go with that because I still haven't seen The Good Dinosaur, which for me not to have seen a Pixar film that isn't titled Cars is that's actually the only time I've ever done that. And it was because I'm tired of talking animals. You know, I get it. You know, talking animals are cute and I know the kids really like it, but Good Dinosaur was also a massive bomb.
Yeah.
And Zootopia kind of seems to be going in those footsteps. What's up, Melissa?
No, yeah, I was actually thinking the same thing when I was putting the list together and looking at Zootopia. I was trying to remember the last animal-only film that actually got me very into the film, and the last time was The Lion King.
And I thought you were going to say The Wild.
No.
Man, I can't think. Yeah, I'm trying to think.
I mean,
what
after
else?
That, they've done Bolt, Home on the Range, Good Dinosaur. Like, there's been a couple of, like, and just solely animals, not animals and humans, because there's been, you know, that combo. But just animals only, I haven't been interested in anything since Lion King. And that was over 20 years ago, right? Almost 20 years?
I'm trying to remember the year, 98. Was it 98? Lou, do you have it in your brain? Do you have that on call?
I do, but I just prefer that you guys try and figure out what year it was.
Yeah, okay.
94. Like,
Google, 94. Okay, so yeah, we're past the 20-year mark. Yeah, I can't. Brian, actually, that's a really good question. Has there been I did really like Ice Age.
Ice Age was
it's
was
not
fun.
A Disney film,
it's not
I
Disney,
understand.
But it doesn't
but,
have to.
Oh, that's
you know.
What I was going for.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, yeah, Ice the one Age. That Disney done, I can't think of one.
Yeah, no, for a Disney one, I can't think of one. Probably Ice Age is the last one that I can think of. And I mean, they can do, you can do adult themes. You can even do more adult themes with cartoons. Secret of Nim is one that comes to mind all the time whenever I think of that with animals and, you know, a little bit more.
That's a pretty unique film.
Oh,
though.
Yes. No, I know. But I meant film. It can work. So
it can work.
They can definitely. I agree with what Lou said. It looks very geared towards kids.
And maybe, you know what, maybe it'll find its audience that way. And then when I watch it, maybe it'll just be silly enough.
Yeah. I mean, and there's nothing wrong with that if they're going to do a movie like that just geared towards the kids.
Also,
that's
it could
fine.
Just be the promo department. They could just be focusing on, hey, we've got to make this cutesy so we get kids there on the weekend. Mm-hmm. And then hopefully when the parents sit down, they have something to laugh at too.
Yep. Yeah.
So, Scott, are you kind of in the same boat with us on this one? Or do you have a higher hope for Zootopia so far?
Kind of. Echoing what you just said, yeah, I kind of hope that it has some kind of adult humor in it where, you know, the kids are enjoying what's on the screen, but, you know, the adults and the parents are enjoying some of the jokes.
Yeah, I guess that's kind of to be determined. And, you know, we'll get our answer soon. That's March 4th.
I mean, but the only thing that gives hope to me is it's Wreck-It Ralph and Tangled were both...
They were great.
They were great.
They were great.
So, you know.
To all the people who are really edgy and don't like Tangled... Don't worry about it.
And I mean, Pen Zero Part-Time Hero, I'm sure you've never seen it before, but I've watched it with Kyle before, and it's funny.
What is that exactly?
It's a Disney Channel show.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's one of their regular shows.
Yeah. It's all on Disney XD, yeah.
All right, so hopefully Zootopia, I mean, so far, not the most interesting of stuff, but this is where, for me, very much, things start taking a turn for the better. And one of the most anticipated films of the year, for me, comes April 15th. Jon Favreau's The Jungle Book. Jon Favreau, actually, me and Lou have many a times shown, and Brian on the film base, and have shown our love for Jon Favreau. He made, still to this day, the best Iron Man film. He made recently Chef. He was, of course, the mind behind Swingers. He did, you know, Zathura also, but don't worry about that.
Elf.
He was behind Elf, which has now become one of the great Christmas films.
It is. That's,
you know,
kind of, it's kind of like the Christmas staple now for a different generation. Isn't that cool? Yeah, it is. It really is.
And we are finally going to get a mix of live action CG Jungle Book. The cast on this is also quite impressive. Lupita Nyong'o, who seemingly is going to appear in every other Disney film for the better, and Giancarlo Esposito, who, if you don't recognize that name, he was the big bad in Breaking Bad. They are going to be playing Mogwai. Did I just say Gremlins?
Yeah.
I'm all right with
you
that.
You do that every time.
I do it every time, and I'm fine with it. The Wolf Mother and Father. Idris Elba appears again in another Disney film as Shere Khan, which... That is my favorite casting, and that's saying a lot when I say that Bill Murray is also playing Baloo. Mm-hmm. Ben Kingsley is playing Bagheera. Scarlett Johansson is Ka. Christopher Walken is King Louie. I couldn't ask for a better cast. I love the director. Richard Sherman is writing new music for the film, and they also are using some of the classics. You can hear Baloo whistling the Bare Necessities at the very end of the trailer that's been shown, which... While the trailer gives you a good glimpse of the film, it really doesn't tell you anything about the film, where I think that is important because I do think a lot of people never saw The Jungle Book.
Yeah, I agree.
Outside of, like, diehard Disney fans, mm-hmm. I don't know if that's one of the films that everyone owns. So, me personally, this will be the first big release out of Disney out of the year. Lou, how is your impressions towards what you've seen and your anticipation for Jungle Book?
So again, you know, if you're going to make a recipe to remake in a very unique way, a classic, and it is to me, it's a classic Disney animated film, you add into the recipe the names like Favreau, Murray, Kingsley, Johansson, Christopher Walken as King Louie. Come on, man.
Yeah, it's going to be fun.
So again, on paper, it looks awesome. And then you wait to see that first trailer, and I was blown away because I love just how rich... Visually, it was stunning, but it's dark, and I really like that. It's a very sort of different, you know, Jungle Book was very light with the colors, but this was a very sort of dark look, at least in terms of that first trailer, and I love that. And again, like you said, it's got the classic things with Sherman in there. It's got a great cast. I love Jon Favreau at the helm of this film. So this, again, seems to have the right recipe to make an amazing film.
I really love the piece at the end where Scarlett Johansson is, you know, saying / singing Trust in Me.
Yeah.
That is probably, even with the Baloo whistle at the end, I think that's the part for me where I was like, yep, I'm in. Mm-hmm. But again, I love that they've put out trailers, but it's not ruining anything. You're getting just enough of a glimpse to get excited. And with the work that they've done, I know, Mel, you have a little note over here. With the work that they've done previously with stuff like this on Planet of the Apes... Every generation that tries this, you know, this stop motion and this animals to life kind of look in CGI, it just keeps getting better and better and better.
Yeah.
So, I mean, around the table, just, you know, from my left and on, a yay or a nay on Jungle Book, and I'll slap you if it's a nay.
It's always a yay.
Yeah, this is a yay?
This is like how when Favreau casted Iron Man and it was like a fan casting, but it was perfect. I feel like this is the same thing, and I don't know. Right now, it's perfect.
Yeah, I agree. Scott?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. It's besides the Marvel movies that are coming out later that we'll talk about, this is my number one.
This is, oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
I love the Jungle Book, and this cast is outstanding.
Bri?
Oh, yeah. It's definitely a yay for me. I'm a big fan of Favreau, like we've said. So I like what I've seen with the trailer so far. And like Luke said, it's got like a dark edge to it, and I like that. You know, and the cast, how can you not love the cast that they have? And I have really high hopes for this one.
Yeah, this one seems to be engaging the 18 to 30 range. Lou, would you agree with that, with the look of the trailer and the feel of it so far?
I think with the look of the trailer, the feel of it, I mean, even the cast, I mean, it's the, you know, the cast is meant for our generation to see those names and go, oh, yeah, this, these are the people that I want to hear in this film.
Yeah, Bill Murray, Christopher Walken. It's just like you hear that, you know.
And they're really hiding Bill Murray and Christopher Walken. If I remember correctly, you've not yet heard Walken as Louis. You've seen the character.
You've seen him. I don't believe you've
heard
him.
You don't actually hear him speak yet.
No.
So, all right. So, good. Jungle Book gets a big thumbs of approval from the entire table then?
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Good. So, thank God. All right. So now we get to what you might call is the biggest release, although there are some later, but this might be the biggest release and for a number of reasons, which we will dive into. We'll probably put a little bit more time into this one, quite frankly, than the previous film so far. May 6th, Captain America Civil War. This is brought to you by the Russo brothers, who did Winter Soldier previously and will be doing Avengers Infinity War Part 1 and 2, which is pretty much Avengers 3, you know, for those who are unaware. The cast list is pretty much everyone that you've seen in a Marvel film. It is Chris Evans, Robert Downey Jr., Scarlett Johansson, Sebastian Stan, who is Bucky, just in case you don't recognize the name immediately, Anthony Mackie as Falcon. Don Cheadle, of course, returning as, are they still calling him War Machine?
I think so.
I think so, right?
For
I
don't now. Know.
Jeremy Renner is in there as well. We have a premiere of Chadwick Boseman as a Black Panther, which I am so nerdily cannot wait. Emily Olsen returns. Paul Bettany is back. Paul Rudd. Frank Grillo is going to kind of be reintroduced as a new baddie in Crossbones, who is a classic Cap villain. William Hurt pops back in as General Ross. And Tom Holland is Spider-Man. Now let's talk about that first, because I heard a little breath at the end of the thing. In my opinion, Spider-Man in this will be the equivalent of Luke in Episode 7. Lou, would you agree with that?
Flames from the side of my face about Spider. I am a monstrous Spider-Man fan, so to see, you know, Marvel and Disney back at, on the Spider-Man reins and hopefully the first introduction to leading down a path to doing the Spider-Man films right. You know, this is one of the things I am super, super excited about for this movie.
Did you enjoy any of the previous Spider-Mans, or have they kind of, the ones from earlier maybe not aged well and the new ones didn't strike you? I mean, have you enjoyed them at all yet?
I mean, I've enjoyed them because I'm a Spider-Man fan. You know, did I enjoy number 3 with the Sandman? And I'm not a James Franco fan. He's got a creepy smile. It's like a scary clown to me. But that being said, I just love seeing Spider-Man on the screen. I was, you know, maybe I'm a little bit more partial to Tobey Maguire, except in the third one with that weird staying alive walk that he did with the black suit on.
Yeah, that happened.
Being said, you know, I just love seeing Spider-Man on the big screen. But I think this is, like I said, the way for them to reintroduce the character the right way and do it the right way.
And now he's going to be young. He's going to literally be a high school looking Spider-Man. You know, Tobey Maguire, I thought he was great as that role, but he definitely looked like he was mid-20s. Right. No matter what you could do, he definitely looked like he was mid-20s. I do think he'll only appear at the end. I think this is going to be a very Luke Skywalker sort of appearance in this, because to throw him in the middle of all of these established characters is tough to balance, even though Spider-Man is that one character that, do we need to learn about Spider-Man's background anymore? No. I mean, we know that, right? Keeping on the Spider-Man thing, Lou, do you want to see another origin?
I think that you are going to see, I think you're going to see a lot more of the Spider-Man that you came to know in the early comics. I don't think it's necessarily going to be a trilogy focused on the origin story specifically, but I think we are going to have that what I think we lost a little bit, to your point, of the teenage angst and stuff that Spidey was and Peter Parker were going through, you know, as he was finding his identity.
Are you aware of the comic version of Civil War?
I'm aware of it. I've not read it, but I'm aware of it.
Okay. No, then, you know, I won't even discuss that, because I don't want to talk about anything that could possibly happen in the film towards that, even though it would be very difficult. I'm not expecting this movie to look anything like the comics, except for a couple of things here and there. A big question that's coming up in this film is, of course, also Chris Evans. Yeah. Melissa, do you want to talk about that whole thing right now with Evans? Because he's only got so many left on that contract.
Yeah, he only has so many, and Sebastian Stan has a lot.
And in the comic world, Bucky did take over the helm, or I should say the shield, of Cap for a while. And yes, the Cap comics sold well, but when Bucky took over that role, at first people were hesitant because it was change and terrifies folks. But once they got into it, that comic was hot. That was one of the best comics out there, and people were loving it. And I do feel we're going in that direction. But, you know, we're getting to the point where all these very, very familiar faces, they're coming towards the end of their Marvel runs, you would think.
Even Downey. I mean, this was one he kind of, like, added on.
Yes, was this was an add-on film.
Yeah, so, I mean, I don't know how
I wonder how much that cost them.
Yeah.
It must have been insane.
What else is he doing? Right?
And also, you know what? For me, this is a really big movie because I did not really, in hindsight, I don't enjoy watching Age of Ultron repeatedly. It hasn't held up on repeat viewings for me. The villain was the biggest problem for me. He came off as very toothless, I've said numerous times. And they've had a problem pulling that off. But in this film, the enemies are kind of each other, so it's interesting. I mean, Bri, I'm assuming you're looking forward to this?
Oh, yeah, definitely. This is the Captain America films have been my favorite of the Marvel, the standalone, whatever you want to call them, the separate from the main Avengers stories.
Gotcha.
Winter Soldier has been the best movie that they've done out of the whole Marvel universe, and he's my favorite character. I'm really looking forward to this. I'm interested to see how they're going to introduce all these new characters, because there's a few new characters coming in.
Well, I mean,
we got Black Panther.
We got Black Panther. He's really our big intro, but he could also be someone who shows up for 20 minutes in the film, and we don't know that yet.
Yeah, that's true. Also,
you know,
yeah, because he's featured prominently in the trailers, but that could just be for that. I'm just really interested to see where this all goes, because I'm not a comic book guy, so I really don't have any idea how it all shakes out from here. So it's really interesting, and I just want to see that fight that they showed in the trailer with Iron Man and Cap and Bucky.
They're trading the shield.
Trading the shield back and forth.
And, you know,
great.
Where it's got a great line of dialogue, and a line of dialogue that gives me a lot of hope for the film, where it was, you know, he's my friend, you know, so was I.
Yeah.
That's a really good, that's good stuff. Like, that's good writing, and that's only in a trailer.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm hoping that that's not like, hey, we got a good line in here, we better put that
in. Yeah, better get it in here. Yeah, yeah. Get this line in here.
It's more of a, you know, we have a lot of good stuff, and this is one of our main. Scott.
Yes, I'm extremely excited for this movie. I love how it seems like Captain America is always more geared towards the actual Marvel Universe. You know?
Yeah. Okay.
As in, like, Iron Man and Thor, they're really kind of... Thor's really separate.
Yeah.
Thor is on cosmic adventures when everyone else is on Earth.
Yeah. So I'm really excited, like Brian had said, I'm not really into the comic book, so I'm excited to see where the next stage is going.
I think everyone's going to be really excited. If the things that I have in my head happen, it's going to make the wait for Avengers 3 agonizing. Agonizing,
really,
but in a good
in
way.
Yeah.
In a good way. Like, you're going to... And they need that, because Marvel needs to stick this landing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They cannot, you know, stumble through the last couple of films wrapping up their, you know, their big storyline.
Yeah. Well, this is also... This is, strangely enough, not Age of Ultron. This is their setup for the Infinity Wars, it seems.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I think that we'll learn over time. This is, and I think that Guardians of the Galaxy will really bring Thanos to the screen, maybe in a bit of a bigger way, or he may not. He may be a part of Ragnarok, for all I know.
Mm-hmm.
But the stuff that they're talking about with Ragnarok really interesting.
Yeah, I've read that.
So they have so many great ideas that are right on the cusp, and I want them to nail it, because Ant-Man was more enjoyable than Avengers.
Yes.
And great for Ant-Man, but that should not be the case. Nope.
You know, Pete, I wonder if the wait for Avengers 3 is going to be as hard as you think, because it's wishful thinking, But if what they did with Winter Soldier happens again, wherein they tie the release of the film to the Tuesday episode of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and connecting this film to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. to what's going on Netflix with, you know, some of the other characters. Like, I'm wondering and hoping maybe that what happens in the film continues to bleed over to other platforms, so they do continue to keep that storyline going, anticipation going, and you have to sort of go to some of these secondary and tertiary mediums in order to continue to get more of the story.
Yeah.
I agree. The whole repercussions that happened on S.H.I.E.L.D. with after Winter Soldier made Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. so much more enjoyable. That became like the thing where when somebody says, "Oh, I'm not watching it," I turn it off after, you know, the first half of the first season. It's like, no, you have to go back, you have to watch, you have to catch up, because it's so good. And like, I never want to get too far behind on that show, because I love what they're doing with it. And I'm a huge X-Men fan, so I like the whole Inhumans aspect of it, and I love the whole bleed with, you know, how they restructured S.H.I.E.L.D. and stuff. So
yeah, the continuity between the shows and the movies is great. It gives it that bigger universe feel, especially for the TV show.
Yeah.
You know, and that's really, besides, I mean, with the Inhuman stuff now, it's gone more towards that superhero thing. But before that, they were just people, most of them. You know, there are most human, you know, or relatable characters, I think, from S.H.I.E.L.D. And that it ties into that greater Marvel universe, I think, is great.
I think we're going to see some. I agree with Lou. I think there's going to be something that happens in this film that is going to send a shockwave of sorts through the Marvel universe in the way that the collapse of S.H.I.E.L.D. did with Winter Soldier. And that's all I'm going to say about that. I don't want to talk any more to it. But so, Lou, is this near the top of your list for this year?
Oh, yeah, far and away.
Okay. Yeah, Brian Scott, I believe
this is one A or B, because the something else coming up later is my other number one. Gotcha. So, yeah.
This is definitely a top for me as well, yeah.
Okay, and Melissa?
This is high, but it's not at the top, because there is one I'm looking forward to much, you know, more later.
Wow, I'm surprised. Oh, never mind.
I was just going to say, think about that.
I'm an idiot. I just figured it out. Yeah. That was stupid of me to even question that for a second.
Pete didn't get the memo, obviously.
I don't know why I would forget that.
Pete's list ends in August, so.
No. Oh, no. Actually, my number one film of the year is maybe not. Anyways, let's move on. I could talk about Marvel. Oh, my God. Can we just do an all-Marvel show soon? I really just want to do a Marvel show and just make insane predictions of what we think is going to happen.
Well, if it's like your Royal Rumble predictions.
Well, then everyone will be spoiled, because I'll just pick the winners. Yeah. Yes!
Awesome. Could I just say, though, the Deadpool is my top Marvel for this year.
Man. Yeah.
Just because I love that character, and from what I've seen, it just looks like it's going to be really
fun. Did Fox finally do something correct that isn't with the word X-Men in it?
I think so.
Lou, towards you. I mean, this is a Marvel film. Now, you're a father. Is this a film that you'll go see once and then maybe consider bringing your kid to? Or is this something where you're like, you know what? No, this is for me, and that's it. I'm good with that.
You know, man, like, look, I love Deadpool, and it's one of those things that, you know, you're like, oh, you almost wanted Disney to make it, but then you don't want Disney to make it, right? And the fact that this Deadpool movie is this Deadpool movie, like, my son is dying to see it. Will I let him see the Red Band trailer? Of course not. And I've told him, I'm like, look, I let him see a lot of stuff that probably a 10-year-old, I mean, don't get crazy, but what a 10-year-old probably shouldn't see in terms of, you know, violence and stuff. But I told him already, we had this conversation in the car the other day, I'm going to need to go see it first myself, and then I'll be able to make the determination. It probably is not appropriate for my 10-year-old. We'll see.
It doesn't seem that way.
But that being said, as the 47-year-old guy, I mean, I've watched that trailer so many times, and I smile and I laugh, and the marketing, you're talking about good marketing for a film. Deadpool versus Zootopia, marketing team is just, they're killing it.
Yeah, they really are. And actually, you know, now thinking about it, I mean, Disney has done, quote unquote, like their adult Marvel, and that's a that's of course the stuff on Netflix. And I wonder if Deadpool is super successful, and Disney looks at their numbers on Netflix and they're like, wow, these shows are just insanely popular. Do they consider bringing an adult, quote unquote, Marvel film to the big screen?
Yeah.
Do they roll the dice on that?
That would be cool.
You're going to lose all, you know, look, they bought Marvel to get that 12-year-old to, you know, that the 10-year-old to 17-year-old kid. And if you make a film that they can't come to, you're going to have a lot of unhappy parents, I think.
So you think they just stick with Netflix with all that kind of stuff? Because that's kind of like a safer base?
It is. And that being said, when Daredevil first came out, I'm like, come on, kids, let's go watch Daredevil. I'm like, no, and I literally like jumped in front of the TV, like, shield your eyes. My God, man.
I hope you didn't make that mistake with Jessica Jones, because it gets pretty quick on that one.
I didn't know that was coming in Jessica Jones. I'm like, am I watching Cinemax or am I watching Netflix?
You know what? I'll tell you, it's even rougher in the actual book. It goes into greater detail of that stuff. So it was something that I was really curious when the show was coming on. I was like, are they going to go this far? Oh, yeah,
they are.
Yep, they are. And that was, we saw that particular episode.
We saw the first one at Comic-Con.
At Comic-Con with like 4,000 people.
Yeah, and it was not age censored at all.
Yeah,
in the room.
So there were a bunch of kids in there. And I was always curious of like, oh, I wonder how the parents are doing right now. Okay, so that is that's Civil War. That's May 6th. Huge film. It could be one of the biggest ones that they ever put out, and I'm really, really curious as to how that goes. I'm hoping for the absolute best. Let's go to May. May 27th, Alice Through the Looking Glass, a follow-up to the 2010 Alice in Wonderland film. This is directed not by Tim Burton. This is now directed by the guy who brought you The Muppets and Muppets Most Wanted. He also did some work on The Ali G Show. Your cast is basically everyone from the first film. You have Mia Wasikowska as Alice. You have Johnny Depp as a Mad Hatter. Helen Bonham Carter as a Queen of Hearts. Hathaway as a White Queen. Sacha Baron Cohen is new, though. He is Time. And this is actually Alan Rickman's final film. Yeah. This is going to be the last film that you see, hear Alan Rickman in. So that for me is pretty big. You have Michael Sheehan as a White Rabbit, Stephen Fry as the Cheshire Cat, who I could listen to the both of them forever. John Sessions, if you're an old school, what was the name of that show actually? The improv show. It's the improv show with Drew Carey.
Whose line is it anyway?
Whose line is it anyway? Back when it was on the BBC, John Sessions was their all-star. Yeah, that goes way back. So
you forgot Andrew Scott.
What happened? Andrew Scott's in it.
He's from Sherlock.
Okay.
He played.
Who's he?
Who's the
Mycroft?
No.
Crazy guy?
Yeah.
He's
Why
crazy
am I
guy.
Blanking? Oh.
He's a villain.
Yeah.
I don't want to say it. I like it that you are going to struggle on this one.
Moriarty?
Thank you.
Don't do it, Brian.
Well, I had to.
You're the devil.
Her head was starting. I saw the steam coming off the top of her head.
Do you think he'll be scheming in this film? Because God knows he can play that forever in every movie.
I hope so. Yeah. I like him, though.
The nose, though. He plays the same character in everything. He was Inspector, and it was like, just solve a mystery. Or whatever. Do something dastardly. So this is Alice Through the Looking Glass. Let's first discuss, Lou, how much did you enjoy 2010's Alice in Wonderland?
I love, love, love Tim Burton in the 1980s.
I see where this is going, yes.
Right? Pee-wee, Beetlejuice, Batman, like three home runs back to back, belly to belly. And then the 90s came and our relationship took a different turn. I wanted to love his stuff, and I didn't. We'll leave Mars Attacks out of this, but, you know, even Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I'm like, whoa, you're touching one of my childhood films, and you're trying to remake it in a very weird, Burton-y, creepy kind of way. So then Alice in Wonderland came out in 2010, and I hate to say this, man. I didn't get through the whole film.
I hate that movie.
All right. I don't feel as bad anymore.
Yeah, no. I actively loathe Alice in Wonderland.
Because you love the animated one so much.
Yeah.
Also because it's just, it's stupid stuff. It's Tim Burton. Okay. I like some of Burton's 90s stuff. I in particular think Big Fish. Man, actually, Lou, Big Fish seems like the movie for you. you should check that out. If you've never watched it before, maybe just give it a new look. But overall, I agree with you. Like, his work doesn't hold up as well lately anymore. For whatever reason, I think that it's very... He's overly Tim Burton-y with everything. And his best movies tend to be the ones where he doesn't rely on that as much. And I was so excited for Alice in Wonderland because, again, if you tell me Tim Burton is doing an Alice in Wonderland film, I did get extremely excited. I was really excited. But then I saw the trailers, and I was like, oh, this looks like a cartoon of garbage. And then I was like, all right, well, don't worry about it. We have Christopher Lee, so we can lean on that. And I didn't care. The movie was so boring. He changed. Of course, it had to be Alice in Underland because she said it wrong before, which is just insane. You know, I understand you got to take your own creative license and you want to insert your own thing into it. But you took the joy out of the fantasy out of it and just made it into dead trees.
Yes.
And I didn't like Johnny Depp in this. I thought he was way too...
Yeah, he's going too...
He's
goofy.
Just way too far. I love Mia Wasikowska as Alice. I think she's a great foil as Alice. But, you know, Helen Bonham Carter is just a little too much. And
yeah, everyone was too much, except for Alice. Mia Wasikowska
and Rickman, because...
And Rickman, yeah.
He was just doing the caterpillar, which is great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was not a fan of this film, and so far, zero makes me feel differently about this follow-up. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping that the direct... I hope, but I'm not going to also sit here and say that while I really love the Muppet, you know, the reboot of the Muppets film, and I think Muppets Most Wanted is like the darkest, strangest Muppets film they've ever put out, but I enjoy
it.
I think it's funny overall.
I think the more times you see it, the better you like it.
Yeah,
it has
that weird thing to it.
Yeah.
But it's not like I depend on this guy so much that I'm confident that he could reverse the engine that already crashed into the mountain.
Yeah.
Do you have a little bit of a brighter outlook on this, Lou? I don't think it could be grimmer than mine. So,
I mean, I'm not, you know, I'm sorry to say, I don't think that there's anything that I've seen that's going to motivate me to want to, A, go see it in the theater. And I would have to try and go back and fall in love with the original in order to get me to watch this. Or maybe I don't. Maybe I have to do it backwards. Maybe I should watch this one when it's released, on a DVD, and then go, or streaming, and then go back and try and watch the Burton version again. Because I love the story, but I don't love the films.
Yeah, same here. Melissa, how's your feelings towards this?
I would almost be willing to just maybe ignore the first one because, I mean, we know the story of Alice. So, you know, if I don't have to go back to watch the first one, but maybe this one, it's a little bit different. Maybe the whole story with time does take a little bit of a better, you know, focus. I don't think I'll go in the theaters, but maybe on, you know, when it's released out. Either on streaming or DVD, I'll give it a whirl. And
if you didn't see Maleficent in the theaters, I don't see how you're going to go see this.
I know. Well,
because Maleficent's like your favorite character, and you weren't that interested in that film, and you didn't see that. You almost kicked and screamed for me to get you to watch that. I don't see how you're going to want to sit down for this
one. Well, that one, because I didn't want them to change the story.
Okay.
And I didn't like how they changed the story.
Yeah, you were not a fan of anything that happened in that film, I don't believe. Scott, does it change anything for you? Does Alice, Through the Looking Glass... give you hope? Did you enjoy the first film, I guess, is really a better question to start with?
I never watched it.
That's, you know what? That's probably the best way to go about it, actually, now that I think of it.
Yep.
Honestly, from the trailers of the first one, I was not interested at all. And then when it came out, it didn't draw my attention anymore. So I have zero interest in this.
Wow. Ouch. Brian.
I'm going to hold out hope. Burton's one of those guys I'm always hoping that it's going to be good because I do – when I like his stuff, I really like it. Big Fish is a great example. I love that movie. His older stuff. So I'm always hoping that he finds that again. I don't have a lot of hope, but I will. If it gets good reviews, I would see it. I'll definitely check it out probably when it comes on streaming. But if it gets decent reviews, I might go see it in theater.
Yeah, maybe on like a Tuesday night when they're $5
or something. Yeah, like a $5 movie.
Yeah, that's the only way that gets me into a lot of theaters nowadays is when it's a first showing on a weekend, mm-hmm. or that, you know, for whatever reason, Tuesdays, because I guess their slowest day is $5 day at most of the theaters locally. So, Lou, did you want to throw anything in on, you know, additionally before we move on from Alice?
I'm just sad to say that Tim Burton, you know, is making me dislike Johnny Depp.
Yeah, no, actually, this has happened with some other people, and I kind of equivalent this to what happened with The Hobbit, what happened with the prequels of Star Wars. Certain guys are so powerful at a certain point that no one around them says, no, maybe you should calm down a little bit, cut this out, bring this from a 13 down to like a 10 at least, and maybe it will flow a little better. And I kind of feel that the Burton Depp combo has become so insulated in such like everyone knows Burton and Depp.
Yes.
Yeah. It's one of those things, you know, it used to be Scorsese and De Niro, mm-hmm. and we have Burton and Depp, but they're not putting out the quality films anymore. They're just not.
No. No.
And that has really tainted my interest for this. And Johnny Depp really needs to be in a movie that isn't awful.
Yeah, I was thinking
he needs to be in one.
I was thinking Black Mass is going to be that, but
and it did not turn out. It was and I don't think that's his fault though. I think that was more the filmmaker's fault. They did it wrong. Mm-hmm. But if right now, if we were to jump to next year and you asked me my interest level in Pirates of the Caribbean, you would have to wake me up and then ask me again if I'm interested in Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Yeah.
What are they up to?
Yeah, 5.
Because the first one was great, and then the second and third one were absolute messes that were thrown together because Disney did not expect for the first one to be such a hit.
Yeah.
That they were like, hey, we need a sequel. Write words. And they're like, well, we can do that.
Yeah.
and then the fourth one, much like Lou, you're not able to sit through Alice. I have tried to sit through on Stranger Tides, and it feels like it is 5 hours long and nothing happens. And that's painful to me because I am a huge Ian McShane fan, and he's playing Blackbeard. This should be, you know,
ducks in a
barrel
for
me. Yeah, this should be easy. Yeah. I love Penelope Cruz. Mm-hmm. I love Ian McShane, but I just don't care. I don't care at all.
Yeah.
So, and they just replaced Will Turner with like Will Turner B.
Yeah.
Like a less interesting version of Will Turner, which, let's be honest, Will Turner, not
interesting
to
begin with.
The most interesting character on Earth. So, okay. We are so sorry, Alan Rickman. Yeah, I know you'll be good. Much like Raul Julia in Street Fighter. That is a terrible thing to equate to each other.
That is the worst.
Disagree with myself for saying that out loud.
Yeah,
but,
yeah,
oh,
that
well.
Didn't sound. It sounded better in my head.
Yeah, sounded better in my head.
Maybe you could edit that.
Let's get to something that I'm sure sounded really great in someone's head, and I am not sure about this one. I hope that people at the table have an opposite opinion of me because I want to be excited. Finding Dory hits theaters on June 17th. This is Andrew Stanton returning to the kind of bosom of Pixar after what happened on John Carter, which was nothing. It was a really massive thud. It really affected his career after A Bug's Life, Finding Nemo, and WALL-E. So he is back, and it is also co-directed by Angus McLean, who I think did two of the best Pixar shorts that I've ever seen, Burn E and Toy Story of Terror. Our cast is largely recognizable. Again, we have Ellen DeGeneres returning as Dory. Thank God. I don't think the movie happens without her, honestly.
No.
Albert Brooks is Marlin, which I want to, I'll talk to that in a second. But we have a lot of new people. We have Diane Keaton coming in as Dory's mother, who's Jenny. We have Eugene Levy, who plays, I don't know, he seems to play like the quirky father and a lot of stuff, but that's, you know what? It's age appropriate. It's where he fits.
Yeah.
Who's playing Charlie, who is Dory's father. Ty Burrell is in this, who, you know, had a good spot in
The Muppets Most Wanted.
And I really liked him in that.
Most people probably know him from Modern Family.
Yeah.
Yes, Modern Family. Ed O'Neill, also a Modern Family guy. He's coming in here as Hank the Octopus. Willem Dafoe is returning as Gil from, you know, from the tank. They're all up in the ocean and whatnot. Yep. Vicki Lewis is returning as Deb. I'm happy with this. And then Idris Elba and Dominic West, Do they have character names?
They don't have character names. They just have.
All right. I hope Idris Elba is God. I'll be fine with that. Or if he's literally just playing the gatekeeper from Thor, and he's just in it for no apparent reason, I'll be fine with any of that.
They've really expanded the Marvel universe.
Yeah, this is really this is the Infinity Wars. It's the ocean. That's where we're going. Lou, help me on this one. I believe that you're excited for this film. Please make me feel better about this. No.
Oh, no.
All right. So you hear Finding Dory's coming out and your first reaction is like, oh yeah, awesome. Ellen's coming back and it's going to be great. You know, like when Finding Nemo ended, I was good with that. Like it was a complete film. It had its three acts. I was satisfied at the end. I walked off to Beyond the Sea and all was good. Do we need a Finding Dory? I don't know. Like I'm on the fence, man, about this one because – again, it's got all the right pieces in play. Finding Nemo was just so good. Andrew Stanton, you know, was so good on that film, right? but I don't know why I'm not, like, circling June 17th on my calendar. Will I go see it when it comes out? Absolutely. Because I trust and I believe that it'll be good. But I'm not as – maybe because of other things on the list. I don't know. I'm not as excited for this as maybe – I should be, or other people certainly are.
Do you maybe also have a little bit of sequel fatigue from Pixar? Something that I never thought that even would be a thing to consider, but Pixar kind of seems to be going back to the well a lot with the films that worked before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
You know what the thing is? There are certain movies that beg for sequels or tailor-made for sequels. Toy Story, obviously. That's one of those things that can just continuously go.
That's a comic book.
That's a comic book.
It's a film comic book. Exactly. You can do a new story every week.
You know, there's one that we finally got the announcement for that was tailor-made for a sequel. It ended with a sequel starting. It was The Incredibles.
Yeah, that became a video game, actually.
Yeah.
That,
but, like, Finding Nemo was a self-contained story. It was in the name of the movie. Finding Nemo.
Yeah.
We found him.
Done.
Story's over.
Yeah.
There's really no need to revisit these characters. You know, I just don't understand the purpose of this other than
need a space filler.
Yeah.
We got to work on other stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe they don't need to put out this many films. Maybe Pixar can just go back to putting out one film every year
and
not
the
one and then the two and then the one and then the two. They were making gangbusters because quality makes more money in the long run.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. I mean, Adam Sandler is the abhorrent, negative in that world. But in the overall, quality wills out.
And the thing is, you have two separate animation studios. You have Pixar and then you have Walt Disney Animation. So it's not like you have a dearth of movies coming out. You know, you have two studios that can pump out, you know, movies. So there's no need to constantly make. I just think, like you said, they're overextending themselves. They're just making too many.
Melissa?
No, I feel the same way. And actually, that's a really good point, Brian. I feel like instead of having, two Disney Animation and a Pixar this year, like, we don't necessarily need a Pixar. Maybe we have one, you know, animated. And that's, like, a really great one that a lot of people worked on. And it's really brilliant. And the story development took a little longer for the next Pixar. But it's fine because, you know, it's super, you know, quality. And it's, you know, as good as WALL-E or Inside Out, you know. I don't know. I feel like some of the announcements from D23, I was like, that looks amazing. And some of them are like, oh, all right.
Yeah, there was a lot of high excitement and then meh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's also coming out, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, like that's a lot.
But it's going to kill. I mean, look, every kid and their mother's going to want to go see it. So it's going to do well.
Oh, definitely.
It will, yeah.
Yeah, this one will do well. I mean, it won't have the built-in issue of like Good Dinosaur where it was trying to build its audience. But that's what really worries me. I don't want Pixar to become the people that rely upon that because I think they're better than that.
Yeah, and they totally are.
I'm really hoping. I'm hoping they surprise me too, because you know what? When I first saw the trailer for Finding Nemo, I couldn't care less.
Yeah,
and then I went into that film and I absolutely fell in love with almost every second of it. So maybe Finding Dory will have the same exact effect on me. Scott, how are you feeling towards Finding Dory?
I'm really hoping that this, since you said, like you said, they have the characters, they have the audience, and they know how these characters are, that it focuses more on comedy You know, it's more of, like, I really hope it's not the same.
Well, she's looking for her parents.
Right. But I hope it's more of, you know, of a comic base. I mean, Finding Nemo had its funny moments.
You want, like, slapsticky stuff? Maybe, like, go that way? You know, give us, like, a completely silly.
Because Dory was that type of person. And, you know, they have the clownfish who's supposed to be funny. You know?
Yeah, but I would say the best comedy came from the fishbowl.
Yeah.
The characters in the fishbowl. Now that they're out in the sea, maybe they do have a bigger part in this and they make a little more of that, you know, silliness.
Yeah, which it's easier to do now because you've already established those characters. You know, it's...
Yeah, like an animated Monty Python or something nuts.
Yeah.
That won't happen, but...
No, that wouldn't bug yet.
Man can dream. Yeah, I'm kind of on the boat with everybody else. This was, as everyone has said... When Finding Nemo was done, I was like, yep, we got it. That's great. Thank you. That is the perfect. That's a beautiful story, and you ended it well. And the thing that I really hope doesn't happen is when we meet Marlin in this film, I do not need him to be Marlin from the first film because he was supposed to grow from that character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And they do that a lot of times in sequels where they regress characters just for the simple fact of, you know, just being comfortable.
Familiarity. Thank you.
And I that would really, really drive me nuts. That actually drives me nuts in the Finding Nemo attraction.
Yes.
Where I know that it's about the movie, but it doesn't feel like it's about the movie. It feels like it takes place after the movie, but everyone is acting like they did during the first film, and they learned nothing.
Yes.
And Nemo, in that attraction, should be left. Because he's just being a wild jackass.
Yeah, he's just,
You know, he knows his father is having a heart attack, and he's like, fun.
He's not going to hide behind this coral.
Yeah, he's going to hide behind here.
Clearly, you don't have children.
Yeah, well, that's true, yeah. But, and the thing is, they've done that before with their, with the Toy Story. Like, the characters have grown, and they're not the same characters that they were in the previous films.
Yeah.
They've learned from their mistakes and stuff.
I will say, though, Toy Story they do it without doing that every time by either resetting Buzz's settings or having a new Buzz, and they always think that they're not a toy. They have done that.
They've done
in
it before.
Every film.
Yes.
They've done it in two, you know, and they did it in three.
Yeah, that is true.
And I hope they don't do that again because Buzz or Buzz, you know, alternate, thinking he's a toy again.
Yeah.
It's like, that's three times now, guys. Let's move along.
Yeah.
You know, hell, let it happen to Woody for once. He thinks he's an actual cowboy. I'll be fine with that.
Yeah.
Or he thinks that he's going up against a volcano. All right, let's move on to one of the bigger mystery films of the year and something that has my extreme excitement, The BFG, directed by Steven Spielberg, based on the books of Roald Dahl. And you would probably recognize Roald Dahl. He was the writer. He was the author of Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, Matilda, Fantastic Mr. Fox. All pretty good films. And Matilda is a huge hit on Broadway as well right now. He also wrote a number of other films. We don't know much about this film. I'm purposely trying to stay away from plot details. I never read the book.
Yeah, I never did either.
I saw a trailer, and it was very intriguing. It's got a interesting cast, Mark Rylance. I became a huge fan of from Bridge of Spies. I don't remember if he got nominated for Best Supporting Actor, actually.
I think he did.
He's probably not going to win, though. Rebecca Hall is another personal favorite of mine. Everyone might remember her from Iron Man 3, also The Prestige. Mm-hmm. Bill Hader is Bill Hader. He's phenomenal. And a lot of other people are in this. But my biggest thing that I'm excited about is the idea that this may be the first film where Gene Wilder returns to the screen. On the request of Steven Spielberg. And this is Spielberg's return to family fantasy, is like the way I put it, with the childlike wonder of Close Encounters, E.T., Hook, parts of AI, not all of AI, because that film gets hella dark. This, to me, is very exciting, and I know little to none about it, but that's how I want to keep it.
Yeah, this is a great movie that I don't want to know anything about. I want to just go into it and learn everything from the movie.
Lou, what's your knowledge on the BFG? I mean, how big is this on your radar? Have you never really heard too much about it previous to tonight?
So when I saw the BFG,
Doom.
I'm like, they're doing a thing about the Doom gun. And I'm like, oh, it's a kid's book. So I did not know of the Roald Dahl book. I had never heard of the story before. So the trailer was all very new to me. You see Steven Spielberg, you can't help but get excited. And that's sort of where I'm just putting my faith in. I looked at the trailer, obviously, with a very blind eye because I knew nothing about what it was even talking about. So I was intrigued. I'd be curious to see what my kids think, you know, because it's obviously it was a kid's book originally. That will probably determine whether or not I go see it in the theater as opposed to waiting for it to, you know, come in and watch on the comfort of my couch. But Steven Spielberg in and of itself is a big draw for me.
Yeah,
and if there's the BFG gun, that would be even better.
They just throw it in there, and The Rock shows up. He's like, "Why not? Yeah, I'm here." Just actually, for anyone who knows, who doesn't know, it stands for Big Friendly Giant, not Big Gun. But it might. You never know. They could switch things up by the time you get in the theater.
Well, yep. If the giant has a gun, then
maybe if the giant has a gun, yeah. And then in turn, it is a big gun. Melissa. Did you ever read this book as a kid?
No, I've never heard of it. And like Lou, I really had no idea what this was referring to. I thought it was...
You thought it was Doom also? Doom 2?
Well, I didn't know. I didn't connect it to Doom, but I did connect it to like video games, yeah. Because I was like...
I think everyone did.
Like, and then you see like the poster with the little child. And I'm like, I don't get it. But I have no idea what it's about. The wiki is almost completely blank on plotline, which is fine for me. I'll go see it because I know you're excited about seeing it, and I kind of want to keep it as, you know, I won't watch more.
I will avoid every trailer, quite honestly.
Yeah, and I'll pull a Star Wars.
This is a movie I will be there for opening night. Cool. Because it's Spielberg, and it's him doing... He's been doing so many amazing adult films recently, mm-hmm. with Bridge of Spies and Lincoln before that. And yeah. War Horse to maybe a smaller degree. It wasn't as successful as the follow-ups, but he's been on such a role, a John Ford-type role is the way that I've referred to it as. For him to now dive back into this and to try to get Gene Wilder.
Yeah, it's really exciting.
Gene Wilder. Which actually, this would be the first.
That'll never happen. Come on, man. Don't get me excited.
Well, you know what? I'll get you even more excited. there's another film that Spielberg is prepping, and that's Ready Player One. Now, I don't know if you're familiar. Are you familiar with that book at all, Lou?
I've been told I need to read it, but I have not actually gotten to the reading portion of it yet.
Let me just give you the overall scope of the film. It's about an eccentric millionaire. Who dies, and in his will, which is released via like a video call, he basically says, I have hidden these keys all in this digital landscape, and whoever can find all of these keys inherits my empire and is basically will take over everything that I've put together. Does that remind you a little bit of Willy Wonka?
It sounds like my own life, really. I don't have to even see it. I've lived it.
So that is also a film that Spielberg is trying to get Wilder to come back for, to play that character, and, you know, very Willy Wonka-esque. And this is, of course, you know, a Roald Dahl book. So this has connections to Gene Wilder. So I don't know if it'll happen, but man, if anyone
Gene's
can get it.
Up there in age, though. I mean, I don't know if you saw any of the. Yeah, I mean,
yeah, he is. But this is all CG.
They could do a motion capture.
Yeah, it would just be his voice. So, I mean, he could do it from home, quite frankly.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think it's still a long shot, but if anyone's going to be able to get Wilder back in front of a, you know, quote unquote, in front of a microphone at least, I think Spielberg would be that guy. I mean, of all the people that could ask, you wouldn't want anyone him. Scott, what's your interest and knowledge towards BFG?
I had very little knowledge of it before, and actually when I saw that it was the BFG, I said, no. I had to go to YouTube immediately. You know, I watched the trailer for it, and I like the fact that I feel like nowadays too many films come out with trailers that give away way too much.
Yep. Hi, Batman vs. Superman.
Yes. Yeah. And I love the fact that they're keeping it very, very contained, because then you get to go into a movie basically knowing nothing, which is great.
Yeah, I mean, it does still have some time. It's July 1st on the release of this, right. So we have time before that, but... I'm hoping that they keep that shroud of mystery over it. So does anyone want to speak any more towards BFG or want to move on?
Yeah. I would just say this.
Yes.
I'm really looking forward to the fall. So you know, late summer, early fall is really when I think Disney is going to kill it.
Actually, Lou, why don't you do the intro for the next film that's coming out on August 12th? Do you have that listed on yours?
I do, and I'm torn.
I know this is really big for you, and that's actually why I was really curious to hear what your feelings on this was.
It is, and it's the remake, again, we seem to be saying that word a lot, yep. The remake of 1977's Pete's Dragon, and it is a movie that is very, like, I will get choked up as I talk about it. Like, that's how much I love that film. I have such fond memories of watching that over and over again, and my unhealthy crush on Helen Reddy, and just Mickey Rooney and Jim Dale and Red Buttons. You know, the cast was perfect. The music was perfect. I love the animation sequences. And again, now we've got this remake of, you know, these films that you wonder, like, I hear remake and I think Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, and I'm like, yikes, like, some films are just so perfect. Should they be remade?
I'm with you. I'm going to upset you. I've never seen Pete's Dragon in full.
I got to go. You do a film podcast, right?
I do. And it's just, it's one of those blind spots. It was a film that I didn't see when I was growing up. And I don't remember it really being, like, readily available. My parents must have just never picked it up.
Which is odd.
Yeah, well, not really. Honestly, the first
love you, or is that
no,
why they
look the first VHS that I'll say this again, my first VHS I ever remember my father buying was Temple of Doom. All right, the man did it right.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
the VHS cost him probably $85 at Price
so
Club.
That's you know, what like, it was.
So hey, we got the right ones in my opinion. But yeah, I'm going to be going into this totally blind. And I know that, yeah, you have quite a hesitation on this. And, I mean, the cast looks fine. Robert Redford is great. I mean, he kind of gives a seal of quality usually. But, I mean, Bryce Dallas Howard is someone who I've literally never really enjoyed a film she's been in fully.
No.
I can't think of one off the top of my head.
No.
It's certainly what didn't come out this year. Carl Urban is in it.
I think that's interesting.
Carl Urban is in it. I assume he throws a spear at somebody.
I'm assuming, yes. He's going to have a weapon.
Is there anyone
sort
who hunts a dragon in this, Lou? Because that's Carl
well,
Urban.
Well, yes.
Oh, okay. Is his name Gavin?
Because that's
I don't know. Melissa, you also said this is kind of a blind spot for you, correct?
Yeah. Funny enough, this is one of the films that I never seen.
Lou's exasperated with us.
When you moved to Florida, the first thing we're doing was having movie night at the Mongello house, and we're getting a big old bag of Doritos. I'll get my own bag of Doritos, whatever you guys want to eat, and we're going to watch Pete's Dragon.
Okay. No, yeah, this is one of the films, like, when we do our film reviews, usually I'm the one who's watched all the, you know, out of the box movies, like,
yeah
this is one I haven't seen, so I don't even really know. Sorry. I learned on the last cruise that Elliot was the name, right? I got that.
Doesn't take
out a girl. you figured
me.
It all out now.
I've seen it once, Lou. I don't remember it at all though.
Oh,
Jim
wow.
Dale is brilliant in this film.
Do you own, I mean, was this out, like, available, readily available, Lou?
I mean, it was. I mean, you know, I didn't get my copy from the back of Crazy Eddie's or something. I mean, I actually have a real copy of it.
Wow. You went real Jersey on that reference, my friend. Scott, I'm assuming you grew up in the same house as Brian, so I'm guessing that you maybe saw this once?
I definitely have seen this, but again, maybe 20 years ago, and maybe longer than that.
So, I mean, what's everyone's interest level? I mean, Lou, yeah, you have your, you know, you're a little hesitant to want to really try to embrace this because you're like, well, this is great, so why'd you have to redo this? But will the curiosity bring you into the theater, or will you just wait for word of mouth first?
You know, it's hard to say, man, because all we've seen is a logo. And the logo that looks like it's, you know, the you know, something that came from a 1980s video game. So it doesn't tell me anything. You know, if you would have told me, what do I think of Jungle Book before I saw the trailer, I would have been like, do they need to remake Jungle Book? But I'm excited for it.
True.
So I'm hoping that they can do the same here with Pete's Dragon that they're doing in terms of gauging my interest level with Jungle Book. But right now I'm hesitantly cautious because I love the film, the original. That's like if they said, we're remaking Mary Poppins.
Well, actually, you know what? Let's talk to that for a second.
So Mary Poppins is a film star.
They're not remaking Mary Poppins, but they are going to make follow-up films, which I'm 100% okay with, because there were multiple books written. I don't think that you can never make a follow-up film to a book that was serialized as it is. And if the rumors are true and they're going to go for Emily Blunt, wow, because I really kind of love Emily Blunt recently. She's becoming one of my most interesting, I look forward to her films now, which I don't think I would have said that last year.
It's called A Crush, just so you know. If you're looking for the right word, it's actually called A Crush.
Have you seen Edge of Tomorrow? Oh my God. She's so cute. Melissa, go to sleep.
Your wife is sitting right there.
Yeah, it's okay. I control all the volumes on the thing.
I like her too.
Yeah, no, she's really great. I mean, what are your feelings towards that? Like, just on a quick, I don't want to, you know, get too far into that rabbit hole, because I feel like we could. But I mean, what's your initial reaction to Disney saying, you know what, we're going to do more Poppins films, because why not?
It's okay because it's separate from the original film. You're taking other sections of the story, so I can be okay with it that way.
Okay, I'm in the same train. One more quick question about Peach Dragon towards you. This is now a live action film. Will you be upset if the dragon looks like a dragon and not more of an animated look?
What made Pete's Dragon was that the dragon was so fun and accessible and soft and gentle, and he was, you know, his friend. If the dragon is a scaly dragon that looks like my son's, you know, bearded dragon lizard thing, you know, which I don't think it will be, but, you know, I want to see Disney embody whatever that sweet magic that Elliot the Dragon was back in 77. If they can do that again in 2016, I'm all in.
Okay, great. The next film, I am also going to step back and let Melissa announce this, because as much as I have a crush on Emily Blunt, this woman flat out is in love with another man. So, Melissa, why don't you tell us about November 4th?
November 4th, Doctor Strange, our next Marvel film. I'm really excited for this one because not only does it star Benedict Cumberbatch, which is amazing, I really like the magical element that they're going to introduce. So I feel like this is kind of a lead into the whole Iron Fist, you know, mystical element. So this kind of brings that, you know...
It brings a whole new element into the films. And you know, going on what you're saying, when they introduced magic in Thor, they gave it a scientific reasoning.
Yeah.
They said it's science that we don't understand.
Yeah.
I don't think they're going to do this. First off, I think the fan base would scream quite loudly if this wasn't pure magic. Mm-hmm. And I think this is going to be finally, because I have been looking forward to this, the introduction of pure magic into the Marvel Universe. Mm-hmm.
Which, you know, based by the cast, not the cast per se, but their characters, you know, you have a sorcerer who's being played by Mads Mikkelsen, who was the villain from Casino Royale. He was Le Chief.
And also he's in Hannibal, and he's going to be in a film that comes up later.
Yeah, but in this one, he's a sorcerer. So it's magic. You know, Tilda Swinton, I think, is a great cast as the Ancient One, because you can't get any more, you know.
She's also one of the greatest female actresses of our generation. She's absolutely incredible.
She's brilliant. She's super diverse. So I think having her in that role is, you know, perfect. Rachel McAdams is in it. I will never be able to pronounce his name.
Oh, I'm all over it. Chitwel Ejiofor.
Yeah.
Yes, wow. That's probably wrong. But no one's going to be able to correct me. Okay? There's three people on Earth that can correct me. His father, his mother, and him.
Impressive.
Yes. This is ridiculously talented cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michael Stolberg is one of my personal favorites also. He was in Boardwalk Empire, a serious man. He was in Hugo. In Boardwalk Empire, he was the Chicago, not Chicago. Don't worry about it. He was a bad guy.
Okay.
He had gambling problems.
Oh, okay. I know who he is. Okay.
So, yeah, we're getting Dr. Strangest.
Yeah, I do think the director's interesting, because Scott Derrickson.
I can talk to this.
Yeah. Brian, actually, why don't you talk about this?
Okay. We have here that he was directed Exorcism of Emily Rose, Day the Earth Stood Still, Sinister, Deliver Us from Evil, and Sinister 2. Now.
Jesus.
half of those were good.
What?
And then the other half were.
What math
really
are we doing?
Good.
Wait, where's half
Common
that are
Core?
No, there was two that were good. It was two
it's
that were
common
good.
Common Core.
It's Common Core. Exorcism of Emily Rose was. I enjoyed that one.
It's acceptable.
It's acceptable. And Sinister. The first
The
Sinister.
First one, yes. Not the second half. When Darth Maul with an eye.
No, no,
shows
you're
up.
Thinking of Insidious.
That movie was so dumb.
Yes, no.
After 45 minutes of being somewhat interesting, and then it just goes.
No, Sinister was is different one.
Lou, what's your connection to Doc Strange? I mean, this is another big Marvel film for this year. One of their hugest characters in the fan base. You know, it's not something that I think a couple of years ago you'd be like, "Hey, you're a big Doc Strange fan. Everyone look at you like you're nuts." But now we've got Doc Strange with one of the most popular male actors really out there right now, a phenomenal cast, an odd choice in director, but then again, the Russo brothers did some real garbage before they did Winter Soldier. Where is your interest level on Doc Strange?
So the same way Mel has her crush on Benedict Cumberbund or whatever his name is, I have an equal bromance in my own mind with Kevin Feige. Like, the man has just done so many amazing things for Marvel. And look, you know, Doc Strange, to a certain degree, you know, who was talking about Iron Man when that first film came out, right? Iron Man was not the most popular character. Doc Strange, for the general public, might not be the most popular character. Ant-Man, Guardians of the Galaxy, all were not the most popular characters that people, you know, it wasn't a Spider-Man or a Superman or whatever. So I'm really excited to see introducing, for the most part, this character to a lot of people who are not big comic book nerds. And like you guys said, too, the fact that they're introducing that supernatural element, the different dimensions and magic, which is something that we haven't really touched on yet. I'm super, super, super excited for this in terms of this sort of being a gateway film, too, to a lot more that I think we're going to see in the future.
Yeah, I think this is going to open the door for a lot of the cosmic stuff that they want to introduce in later films. Obviously, when Thanos becomes a larger part of the villain picture. And yeah, like you said, it's a character that Marvel is saying, yeah, people aren't they're not readily familiar with this character, but we're going to make him readily familiar. I remember when Guardians of the Galaxy came out, me and you were watching Melissa, me and you were watching the trailer. The shot of Rocket Raccoon shooting the gun goes off, and I start giggling like a child, but no one else in the theater is reacting.
Yeah.
And it's because I was like, I can't believe we're going to get a Guardians film. And it's like, who the hell are these guys? Yeah. And I was like, you'll see. You're going to love them.
Don't worry about it.
You know, you're going to love them. They're going to nail this. And yeah, speaking towards Feige, he now has the reins in such a way that he even hasn't had before. The guy that was causing him a lot of headaches, he figured out a way to circumvent that. And he no longer has to answer to that. Well, I want to say it's just the CEO of, the owner of Marvel, whoever it is. He basically worked out a deal with Disney where it's like, it's his call now. Mm-hmm. He doesn't have to pinch the checkbook as badly as he was. Because, you know, that's one of the reasons why Terrence Howard is, you know, did not return as Rhodey. It's one of the main reasons why Robert Downey Jr. almost never came back for the Avengers was Feige said, we got to pay these guys what they want. And the cat above him was like, no. But Disney realized, yes. Yeah, you know, yeah. No, you know what you're doing. And as long as you get a return, you have an open checkbook, basically.
Yeah.
And he's going full blast now because you can see it now. These are not somewhat known, iffy actors.
No, these are superstars.
These are loaded films with actresses and actors that have a demand on a paycheck.
And yeah. even the ones that are not maybe known names, when you see them, you'll know who they are.
Yeah, yeah. Like Tilda Swinton falls into that category. Yeah. I see Tilda Swinton, I know who it is immediately. Mm-hmm. Other people may not recognize her by name, but when they see her, they'll look at me like, oh, I know her from 1,000 films. Mm-hmm. You know, she's in
Narnia.
Everything. I'm sorry?
Narnia.
She was in Narnia. I mean, I don't know if that's the one that she wants to be remembered for. But
no, I'm joking.
But yeah, I mean, Scott, what's how are you looking forward to the Sorcerer?
I love that, like Lou had said, they're going to, you know, expand the universe and add that other element, which will bring other characters in. And, you know, I feel like this will spawn a lot of, I feel like it'll spawn a lot of Netflix type, you know, shows with different characters that aren't, you know, necessarily.
I wouldn't be totally shocked if we don't get some kind of Iron Fist reference, as Melissa was saying earlier. Mm-hmm. Some kind of scribbling on a wall or something in this. But I remember how excited I got when we were watching Civil War.
Yeah.
And the guy, whoever it was, who was, you know, spying on S.H.I.E.L.D. and whatnot, he said the name Stephen Strange. And I was like, oh, what? What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Yeah. Like, is it really going to happen? Is he just saying it? They just, you know. But it's weird because when that happens in a Marvel film, they set it for a reason.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it's still cool when it happens because you're like, oh, God, they were actually being honest. They weren't screwing with me.
Yeah, definitely.
You know?
Yeah.
Okay, Doc Strange, very high on everyone's excitement list. Mm-hmm. Melissa, why don't you go into the next film as well, actually? I think this is something that's very high on your list. And we're only down to two more films. So let's take a look at Moana on November 23rd. What do you got, Mel?
Yeah, no. Another pair of directors. But this pair, actually, if you go to their individual wiki pages, they only have directed by with each other.
They work in a tandem, like the Russo brothers and some others, Coen brothers.
And actually, a couple of the films that John Clements and John Musker worked on had come up in our underappreciated films. We have The Great Mouse Detective, not Little Mermaid and Aladdin, but Hercules, Treasure Planet, Princess and the Frog. Some of the really great films that we have all enjoyed, we got this pair back. So I'm really interested in it. It is a CGI film. I know at one point we were kind of unsure whether it was going to be CGI or hand animation.
Because we were uninformed and stupid, because it was pretty obvious that it's CGI. That was our own fault.
So we corrected that, and it is CGI. But I don't know. It gets me in this Lilo and Stitch kind of mood, but in a almost like a Hercules mythic, you know, aspect, you know, where they're going with the demigods of the South Pacific. And I'm really, really interested in it. I love the concept art, and seeing the full renderings of the characters gets me more interested, too.
Yeah, you know, these guys, looking at the movies that they've done, Aladdin, to an extent, Hercules, Prince and the Frog, they seem to deal well in that mythical
realm,
like you were just saying. So being that it's going to take, that's where they're going with that, it really excites, you know, excites me to see this.
Lou, how are you looking forward to Moana?
You know what? Believe it or not, man, I am really, really looking forward to this one. I mean, I have it sort of circled on my mental list. Especially in terms of the non-Marvel films. I think this is one that I'm really excited for. Yes, because it's Clements and Musker. Yes, because it's The Rock and Alan Tudyk again. Because of what I think the music is going to be. You know, when they talked about this at D23 Expo again, you know, people just lost their minds. I think there's a lot of things, again, on paper that are going to make this film just kill. I mean, look, the fact that there is another new Disney princess coming into sort of the fold to a certain degree is exciting to some people and some demographics for a lot of different reasons. But yeah, I'm very, very high and anxious on this film.
This film, for me, it feels like it could be the movie that I wanted Brave to be.
Yeah, that's
great. That's kind of the vibe I'm getting from it, with the way that it's embracing the mythical history and everything that goes into that. That was something that I felt Brave was going to do, and it sort of did, but it didn't commit to it.
Yeah, definitely.
This feels like it wants to commit to that. And my excitement, this is by far my most anticipated animated film that's coming out on the Disney slate. I would put the other two in a very distant second and third.
Yeah, same.
And I'm really excited for Moana. I love the look of it. I love the feel of it. Something is just clicking with this film, with as little as we've seen.
Yeah, but even just,
you know,
like,
and that's impressive. We've seen so little.
Oh yeah.
Yet for all of us, it's like, no, this is something we want more of. Mm-hmm. This has our attention with doing minimal work so far, which is great.
And I mean, just like The Rock, that's got to be rock, perfect. Yeah. I mean, that's perfect.
He better rock bottom somebody.
Yeah, he better.
Another god.
Yeah.
He's playing a demigod.
He absolutely better rock bottom somebody.
So I hope they animate his eyebrows well.
Yes.
Yeah, just everything about it, just the feel of it, and I don't know, like you said, this is my most anticipated of the animated films by far.
Scott, are you on board with Moana as well?
I am. I think, obviously, besides the Marvel ones that are coming out, this is going to probably be the best story, I feel. Because it's going to introduce, a different knowledge that most people probably don't understand.
I hope so. That's what I'm hoping for.
And I'm hoping it is more story-based.
I feel like it will be.
Yeah.
I think that this is one that a lot of care has been put into.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And again, how many of these films, Great Mouse Detective, Hercules, Treasure Planet, and Princess and the Frog, all made our underappreciated films?
And the other two are classics.
Yeah, and they're classics. Yeah. But this will have, which is strange to say, the box office appeal of The Rock. That is a sentence.
Yeah, yeah. That is a sentence.
Ten
never
years
thought
ago,
I would have
you
heard.
Told me that was going to be a thing that I would say without joking, I would have just kept watching Raw and laughed. So very happy to hear that at least we have this one very, very high on our list. And you know what? Lou, go ahead. Take it away. December 16th.
Oh, there's something else coming out?
There is something. There is a something. That's what I've heard.
Oh, man. Let me tell you. I've said it ad nauseum, and it's true. It's such a good time to be a Disney fan. It's such a great time to be a Marvel fan. It's a ridiculously insane time to be a Star Wars fan. And Rogue One, A Star Wars Story, December 16th. For a lot of people, they might not have even realized that another one is coming out so relatively soon, because it's not sort of part of the sequel in this third trilogy. It's sort of a breakout story that takes place after A New Hope. A lot of Bothans died to bring us this information. We're finally going to find out what happens to all the Bothans and who they are and why they died.
Actually, if I may, no.
I know, but you know what I'm saying. I wanted to throw a Star Wars line in there somewhere.
Well, no, this is a precursor to New Hope. This is a precursor. This is how R2 gets the plans. That's when this is going to take place.
Right, right.
So it's weird. It's interesting because they're going to start crossing over sort of into the territory that they've been making an animated series about.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking about.
You know, I wonder if they're going to... I don't think so, but do you think there would be any chance that you see, like, the crew of Rebels, like, walking in the background or something in this film?
I mean, Disney's very good at synergy and crossover, so it wouldn't be surprising.
It would be really strange. It'd be really interesting. Now there's a lot of rumors of a younger Han. Which doesn't make sense, because if this is when, when R2 gets the plans, it's like 20 minutes before the movie, it would end 20 minutes before the next movie starts.
Yeah, no, so that doesn't make sense.
I heard that rumor, and I was like, that literally makes no sense, because that would be time travel.
Yeah, no.
But
maybe he's got a TARDIS.
Maybe he has a TARDIS. Maybe that's what's been going on the whole time.
Yep.
You're really obsessed with British people.
Sorry.
I'm getting worried about
maybe. I was hoping for, Seventh Sister popping in, because that would be really cool.
You know what? We don't even know.
You don't know.
We don't know what the supreme leader is yet.
Yeah.
There's been no official, this is what this guy is. So who knows what we're going into yet?
Maybe you'll get, though, maybe we'll get a live action version of Ahsoka.
That's my dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. If that movie literally is 5 minutes long and just Ahsoka pops up and like winks at the camera, I'd be like, yeah, all right, you got my money. But Lou, when you're looking at this film, when they first started announcing like these offshoot films, were you a little nervous maybe? And then what made you come around on it?
So, you only get nervous and you're like, oh, I remember episode 1, 2, and 3. I remember what happened. Am I nervous now? Absolutely not, because I've seen Force Awakens 11 times. So, I'm not nervous at all. I'm super excited. I mean, look, if you are a Star Wars fan, I mean, you know that for the next X amount of years, you've got constant new, fresh, well-made. That's the critical part. It's well-made content. You're not getting Star Wars holiday specials. You're getting Rebels. You're getting Force Awakens. You're hopefully going to get Rogue One. What?
That's just in my head. That's playing on the...
So wait a minute. You've seen the Star Wars holiday special, yet you've never seen Pete's Dragon.
Guilty. Yes.
I've only seen this holiday special because it was playing before we saw the movie at Alamo Drafthouse.
Yes.
So
all hail
only...
Alamo Drafthouse. Yeah. I got to open an Alamo Drafthouse in Florida because I can't live without one. I'm going to be so sad. That is something that really, really needs to happen down there.
Yeah.
The cast on this is really, really impressive. Felicity Jones, again, bringing a female towards the forward ground in a Star Wars film. Diego Luna, Ben Mendelsohn, Donnie Yen is in this. And I don't know what he's going to do, but I'm assuming it's going to be kicking someone in the face.
Yeah, he's going to do some flips.
So Forrest Whitaker, I'm sure, will be sage-like with his one eye. Mm-hmm. And Mads Mikkelsen, I love because he's going to be a good guy in this. Which,
that's weird.
I know, it's really weird. Yeah. But we all have to get used to it. We have to start thinking of it because I'm immediately going to see him and go, he's going to probably try to kill all of you.
Yeah.
And you know what? Maybe that's true. But you know what would be even crazier? If Alan Tudyk tried to kill everybody. Because Alan Tudyk is in this as well.
I think he's the John Ratzenberger, the new John Ratzenberger for Disney.
Okay.
Wreck-It Ralph, Frozen, Big Hero 6, right?
Zootopia, now Moana, this.
And Rogue One.
Oh my God, he's making so much money. I just figured that out. Like, wow. And that really is. It's all from Leaf on the Wind, which, if you don't know what that reference is, you should probably go and watch Serenity. Or, well, I guess go back further and watch the originals. But anyways.
And he's also Steve the Pirate, so.
That's right. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right.
That's what I remember him from.
Actually, best role.
That's where most people are going to know him from.
Damn hysterical in that movie, too.
Yeah, he is.
As silly as that movie is, and I love it so much, but he really stands out, actually, as one of the funnier things. I love that we're getting this a year after the film. I love that this is going to be our bumper in between the next big release in 2017, December 2017.
Yeah.
I love that Gareth Edwards is doing it. This is another great new-ish director. The newest Godzilla, not a great film, but it's because the story is weird. It gets rid of its most interesting character. But visually and directorially, it's quite damn good. Monsters is really good, and you can find that on Netflix. And it's like a good version of a found footage film. I'm really curious as to what he does with this. And so far, all they've really released is a teaser trailer of you, I assume, on Alderaan. And the camera lifts up and you see the Death Star, you know, dominating the sky. And then the cast photo, which the cast photo, to me, what said tons about the film, because it looks like nothing else I've seen in a Star Wars film.
Yeah. No, definitely.
It looks like a Dirty Dozen.
It does, yeah.
Which, yes.
I'm really interested to see the tone that this is going to take, because I think it's going to be a more grounded tone than what we see in the main trilogy.
I think this is going to be like, you know how we refer to Marvel's Netflix as the street level characters?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be our Rogue
One. The down and dirty characters.
I don't think we're going to see Jedi. I don't think we're going to see the Force.
Nope.
I think we're going to see like assaults, like rebel assaults and stuff like that. And it's really, really exciting to me. Mel, what's your interest on Rogue One? Now that you know, you didn't really grow up like a huge Star Wars fan, but you really enjoyed Force Awakens.
Yeah.
And now you're going to get another film, you know, in less than a year.
Yeah, I'm excited about it. I'm super excited again about like the female lead. I think that putting females in the front of this, at one point, probably more male dominated, especially like with the prequels.
Absolutely was.
Yeah. You know, Leia was a strong character, but it wasn't as, I don't know.
Leia? You mean Leia?
Leia, yeah.
I thought you said
sorry.
Leo. I was like,
that's what I thought. No. It's like, he looked like, he might have looked like a girl in Titanic, but.
Man got attacked by a bear this year. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, he's adorable. She was a strong character, but I don't know. I felt like Rey was even stronger, so I'm really interested to see how they'll put, you know, this character in there.
Yeah, I'm very, very curious. And Felicity Jones is no joke as an actress. She's a quality actress. And that's another thing that we're seeing in these casts. They're not skimping on, oh, well, this person wants a lot of money, so we're probably... I mean, granted, people take less money to do a Star Wars film.
Yeah.
That's kind of historically accurate. But still, they're going for it. They're not cheaping out. Scott, what's your reaction to Rogue One?
I feel like they're going to, like you said before, they're going to try and bumper the actual films, much like the Marvel Universe. And I kind of like that. You know, it gives it... It's not so long in between seeing anything. You know, you get the universe, but not the full effect of it.
Yeah, you get more of the behind the scenes, you know, a little bit more, I guess, like the behind the scenes of the
universe. Do you think it'll confuse people because it's so different time-wise than Force Awakens? Are people going to misinterpret when this is happening?
I don't I don't know.
They're going to have to be pretty blatant in that crawl.
Yeah.
That's what they're going to have to do.
I think they will. For the majority of people, I don't think it'll be an issue.
Okay.
Maybe for people that are just coming into Star Wars, maybe they'll be a little thrown.
Lou, just to throw one more Star Wars thing at you, I know that we're going pretty long, so I appreciate you staying on with us. Han Solo movie of this caliber, you have any interest in that?
Yeah, man. Look, of course I have interest. You know, if it's Star Wars, of course I'm going to have interest in it. I think to your point about the confusion, I think it's going to be up to the marketing team long ahead of Rogue One and any sort of other films that are not part of the trilogy to make it clear where they sort of fit into it, and that it's not that people can't show up for the film and go, wait a minute, this is not how, you know, where's Luke Skywalker? Where's Rey? But yeah, man, of course I'm interested in it, and I'm more interested now because of just how good Force Awakens really was.
Yeah, they showed it's basically, it was the make good on the faith. It's, you know, you can equate it to when you saw Iron Man, you're like, oh, they can make these films. Like, these are things.
I just hope there's a whole scene about midichlorians.
I will jump through this microphone and digitally find my way to you. okay, guys, that is our list. There are a couple of other movies coming out, but there's not a lot of details on it. I'm just going to go into them really quick. The Queen of Katwe is coming out. That is another Lupita Nyong'o film where it's about an Ugandan chess prodigy, which is based on a true story. And I don't know why, but chess and film like fascinates me because I have nowhere near the intelligence to play that game correctly. So that is coming out sometime in 2016. There's no hard date on that yet. And also another film, which is, I mean, it's a Walt Disney Studios film, but it's also through Touchstone, but it's going to be their last one because the distribution agreement has gone to the wolves. It is The Light Between Oceans. And it's directed by Derek Cianfrance, who did The Place Beyond the Pines, which if you haven't seen that, I don't know if you really want to. It's a very, very odd, very specific, very peculiar film. But the cast is quite impressive. It's Mike Fassbender, Rachel Weisz, and one of the greatest performances of last year, Alicia Vikander, who was in Ex Machina. If you haven't seen Ex Machina and you are of age to see Ex Machina, see Ex Machina. And I don't believe you will be disappointed. Lou, thank you so much for staying on with us. I know you've had a very long day. I know you had a call before this, and you've been super patient and super cool. And do you want to just talk a little bit about the cruise before we sign off? Because we are, what, 10 days away, 11 days away?
Oh, man. I am jonesing. I've been just wearing my Ewok costume around the house just for days on end, just looking forward to this.
It's not you a laugh, costume, Lou. It's just natural. Right.
it's my entrepreneurial uniform. What can I say? Yeah, man. Disney has a couple of cruises with a Star Wars Day at Sea. We're going to be on just the third one that they're going to be doing, and I'm really, really looking forward to it. Not just because it's a Disney cruise, not because it's Star Wars Day at Sea, and the Super Bowl, and Mardi Gras, and the 9th anniversary of the show, but there's unlimited food, so there's that.
There is, for the Super Bowl, on top of that.
Yeah.
Well, I cannot wait. Wow, I really can't wait. I can't believe it's this close now. I feel like it felt really far away, and now it's suddenly next week.
Yeah, talk to the guy who's planning for a cruise that's next week, who's scrambling. Oh, my God, this cruise is a year away. Like 5 minutes.
Yeah, we were very excited. We got the schedule a couple of days ago, and then I got an email today with it in a nice little form. So we are very, very excited. We have everything set up. We've got some jammies for the pajama party. Am I dumb in thinking that the thing I'm looking forward to the most is the hour from midnight to 1 a.m. in the kids club for the adults only?
That is, let me tell you something, man. We've done that a couple of times. I have never had such a good time watching adults act like 7-year-olds before.
I cannot wait for that. And it doesn't make sense because of all the other things that are going on. But I'm like, no, that hour is pretty much going to be it.
Yeah.
And then I'm definitely going to see Force Awakens the day that it's playing on the boat at 11 o'clock, hoping all the kids are asleep. For the most part, I doubt they will be. But yeah, we are so, so excited. We can't wait. It's coming up so soon. So, well, Lou, where can everyone find you on the web? Even though everyone listening to this, I'm sure knows you, but where could they find you if one did not know where to find you?
Don't be so sure. If you want to find me, all my Disney stuff can be found at WDWradio.com, and all the other stuff that I do can be found at LouMongello.com, and I'm at LouMongello on all the social.
Very well. Guys, check out his show. It's really awesome. And there was a really awesome show right at the end of last year. It was this Star Wars episode. It was, you know, Star Wars and at Disney and whatnot. And you should check that one out. It's probably the best one he's ever done.
And despite my guess, it was awesome. No, I'm kidding.
Look, you're too hard on Frank.
Dude, you're awesome, man. We killed it. We could have, and we almost did talk for hours. So
yeah, which is what we did tonight. So thank you guys so much. We are who are we?
Last
no,
gen.
Like
who really? Are you?
Who are we? Oh yeah, I got it now. We are lastgenpodcast.com. You can find us on Twitter at DizMagicHourPod. Did that confuse you? It confuses me. I hate it. I wish we could have the one, but I can't cross streams on these shows, folks, because it'll scare some of people away. So for our Disney show, you can find us on Twitter at Diz Magic Hour Pod. On Facebook, you can find us by searching for Disney Magic Hour. We have a group, a pretty good, strong, blossoming group over there. It's getting pretty active.
It
over
is.
There.
Getting people are starting to participate.
We are approaching our 1 year anniversary for lastgen.com. We do have some t-shirts that we still have a couple left over. I want to say like five or six, something like that, off the first batch of our t-shirts. So if you're interested in that, contact us on Facebook, and we will have a page set up for that in the near future. And right now you're listening to Boo Bass by Pogo. You can find this and other videos of his over at youtube.com/Pogo. His music is at soundcloud.com/Pogo Mix, and his home address is pogomix.net. Say goodnight, Melissa.
Goodnight, Melissa.
Say goodnight, Scott.
Goodnight, Scott.
Say goodnight, Brian.
Goodnight, Brian.
Thank you, Lou, and please say goodnight, Lou.
Goodnight, Lou.
Goodnight, Pete. And say goodnight, Pogo. I'm looking.